That could be like an announcer, like a columnist.
I don't believe what I just saw.
You know how I always make those interesting comments during the game?
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
Yeah, yeah, you make good comments.
So what about that?
Well, you know, they tend to give those jobs to ex-ball players and people that are, you know, in broadcast.
What about a talk show host?
This is In the Booth.
Talk show host, that's good.
I think I'd be good at that. I talk to people all the time.
With Matt Park.
Presence and accounted for on this snowy day. It's actually not super snowy now, but overnight. Hope everybody's doing okay wherever you are, whether you're safe. No, you're safe. I would hope you are, at least. But you might not be at work or school. You might be home. Good day for a snow day. Maybe some binge watching and bundling up and doing things around the house. And kind of warm thoughts, some of those things. Have some soup or hot chocolate or whatever it is that warms the cockles of your heart. And go on and enjoy yourself today. If you want to talk Syracuse basketball, we can do that here today at 4 ESPN 44. That's 437-7644. Mike Waters, the Syracuse basketball beat writer and a good one for Syracuse.com, will join us here in a little bit. Certainly your phone calls are welcome if you'd like to join the conversation. This is our last show of the week. Basketball practice tomorrow in the afternoon precludes us doing a show. Saturday night is a game at home against Georgia Tech. Sunday, a travel day to Durham. Monday, a chicken and waffles day. And then the Duke basketball game at night and then back. And then once school starts again, practice will be more like 4 o'clock instead of 2 o'clock. And that won't keep us from doing the radio show, for better or for worse. So that's kind of the near-term schedule there for people interested in such things. But chicken and waffles is on the docket. Apparently, we owe Polly brunch for being right.
I'll take it, but that I was just throwing it out there.
Just throwing it out there.
If it didn't happen, I was going to buy. So it wasn't
right,
like I bet you.
You would have welched, so it's not like it really was legit anyway. I mean, you were just kind of throwing it into the air. It's not like anything actually would have happened, right? But
it's tough being right so much.
Right. We tend to get the chicken and the waffles on that trip to Durham anyway, so no sense not doing it now, especially as much as we've talked about it this week. Just might have to jump into the Polymobile for the trip, which is less than desirable. Not as convenient as a walk across the block, but we will figure that out. No, those are first world problems. Nobody cares about that.
Sitting on Dunkin' Donuts cups is uncomfortable.
In the Polymobile?
Yeah.
The trademark of the Polymobile, you've got a Dunkin' Donuts cup, which actually is, if you were literally to talk about sitting on it, I mean, you favor the iced coffee, which means the crushable plastic cups. Most people would go to Dunkin' for the hot drinks, I think. That's a styrofoam cup or a paper cup. But the real trademark of the Polymobile, aside from the 80s soundtrack, is the ubiquitous fast food wrappers on the floor.
Not my car.
Oh, stop. Oh, right, because it's not your car. So there is almost always a Mickey D's. So depending on, you can sort of tell the tale of how far you're going. Where Polly ate can be unearthed, and you don't need to be a forensic science expert to figure it out. You know, you got your Burger King, and then if it was a little further, or your McDonald's, I'm sorry, then if you're a little further down the road, maybe it's a Hardee's, a Carl's Jr. Of course, they're the same. You would know Carl's Jr. from the West, but Hardee's. Bohangles.
I'm not passing up a cookout.
Chick-fil-A cookout. Cookout, is that really as much a takeout establishment? I guess it kind of is.
Yeah, it's a drive-thru and you get it and it's just char-grilled burgers and they're good.
Right.
And they got
people like the
puppies.
The cookout, yeah. They're not as
99
widespread.
Shake.
Well, good. We'll have an idea of how your trip was, but are you doing the RV thing this time?
We're working on it.
Nothing like you and Daniel Baldwin to come up with
a nightmare.
An idea like that on short notice to try to make it happen. My prediction for the game last night wasn't super far off. I might pat myself on the back. 67-62 was my pregame pick. It wound up being 61-53. A little lower scoring than one might expect. Although, I guess you probably should have expected it to be low scoring. Coach Sadlin was almost right on the money. especially after hearing my pick. He bumped it down a little bit, and the right answer was somewhere in between. It was a balanced performance by the Orange. Four players in double figures, another with nine. Held Clemson to obviously just the 53 points, but only 36% shooting. Very good defensive performance. Marquise Reed ended up getting his. Elijah Thomas got his, but that was about it on the Clemson team. They don't have the depth of scorers that are really going to keep coming at you in waves. It was just really Reed that was the hardest to deal with, and the Orange defense was strong. Lots to get into on that with Mike Waters a bit later in the show. Let's go to the phones, and I'm not sure why I can never read the call screener. Is it Troy?
Tony.
Tony. Yeah, that's terrible.
Hello.
Hello, Tony.
Hey, guys. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm just calling in because I had a question originally about Kyle Murray. I thought he got his money, and I was wondering how he played in college, but he hasn't gotten it yet. But the other thing I asked when I called in is
just hang on one second. You are allowed to do
that.
Well, go ahead.
I'm sorry, but he answered that. We had a friend there. I don't want to call him a friend, but we had a caller, I think, after the Cornell game. I can't remember his name, but he called in, and he jumped all over Hughes and somebody else talking about, you know, how bad he is. I thought he was supposed to be really good. I don't think he's called back. I just wanted to put a little shout-out to the guy that he should call when Hughes is actually doing good instead of just two game bad games, you know, scoring-wise he had. So I thought they'd been playing really well. I like Dolezal's getting the minutes into the five because I really like the way he plays anyways with the hustle and everything. That's all I got, guys. I'll listen.
I appreciate the call, Tony. Thank you. Your call could be next, folks, if you'd like to join us at 4ESPN 44 315 437 7644. Two things in reaction to Tony. First of all, you can get the money if it's in a different sport, and that is what's happened with Kyler Murray. He must have had an arrangement with the Oakland A's that says, look, if you do end up pursuing football and you're not going to play for us, then you owe us some of this money back, which is understandable. I wasn't aware of that type of arrangement, but it stands to reason that the A's would make that agreement with him, saying, hey, our hope is that you're going to come to baseball. He was a first-round pick in baseball. They had to have protected themselves if he wound up pursuing football, which wasn't the plan originally. But if you're Kyler Murray, why not? You know, if you have those types of options, you might as well keep your options open. I think long-term and the way contracts are structured, if you're good in both, and you had to choose one, baseball's the way to go. Guaranteed contracts and longevity. We can come back to that in a second because there is one argument toward going football instead of baseball. But my understanding, Tony, just to correct you on that quickly, is he can get the money. He has been paid by the A's and continue to be paid by the A's. He can't be paid by the NFL and play college football, but in a different sport, that is now allowed. There was a time maybe when it wasn't. I remember one of my first, actually the first team I ever worked for in the real world of broadcasting, minor league baseball team, one of our outfielders was Ricky Williams, who went on the next season to win the Heisman Trophy at Texas. And he was paid, he was a professional baseball player, paid pennies, I might add, but played college football. But certainly Murray is in the clear on that. As for the other, I don't recall anybody calling in and bad-mouthing Elijah Hughes. He really hasn't given any opportunity because he's been consistently good. You know, maybe the first couple of games, a little bit of a slower start or whatever. Yeah. The Cornell game wasn't super competitive. He's had two games where he hasn't scored 14 points.
Four against Cornell.
Yeah, big deal. So that happens. That's talk radio. People call in, and they are welcome to do so. You can have your opinion. I think people that might be a little bit more measured tend not to make those mistakes. But Hughes, to me, has been extraordinarily consistent. We pointed out every game. Last night, right back at 14 points, he now has scored 14 points or better in 13 of the last 14. They've played 15 games, so the first couple he didn't score at that level, but he has really ever since. And it's not like he's really going wild either. The Notre Dame game, a little bit of an exception that was slightly outside the range of what he's shown. It was a career-high 22. But you could pretty much pencil in that Elijah Hughes is going to get 14 points. And we had him on the pregame yesterday. And the next time I have him on, I'm going to ask him about this specifically because there were a couple things that I, as soon as I stopped the recorder, I neglected to ask Elijah. One was on this, and I know Mike Waters and the post-standard Syracuse.com people have written about it. He's got this celebration, kind of the air guitar after making a three. That's a Lance Stevenson knockoff, apparently, from what the guys tell us. O'Shea Brissett was filling us in a little bit on the players' celebrations yesterday before the game. So that's one with Elijah. And the other is the guy is even keel. He doesn't get too excited about much of anything. He looks like he's got pretty low blood pressure. Let's put it that way. He's not a super rah-rah guy. He doesn't really get down after a miss. He's pretty placid and goes out and does his thing. And right now he's making a lot of shots. He has a very good stroke, a good frame on him. I don't think he gets thrown off kilter or has trouble dealing with contact and some of those things. So Elijah Hughes is having a great start to the season with plenty more to come here. If he's consistently in that 14 to 16 point neighborhood in conference, that's all you need from him. And then if you continue to get that as expected from Tyus Battle, Frank Howard, if he comes along, adds that. Last night, Howard, a season-high 12. O'Shea Brissett was off a little bit, 9 points. He missed all four of his three-pointers and turned it over five times. So you look at that balance there. If you can continue to get contributions really from all four of those players, then anything beyond that is a bonus. One of the things we'll hit with Mike Waters coming up in just a moment here is Barama Sidibe starting to earn more and more playing time and come through with it. Last night, 16 minutes. And an impact on both ends of the floor. You're listening to In the Booth. We'll come back with Mike Waters, Syracuse.com's Orange Basketball beat writer, in just a moment. This is In the Booth on ESPN Radio.
It's time to talk hoops with Syracuse.com and Syracuse Post Standard, Mike Waters, powered by Drivers Village and Oswego County Mutual Insurance.
And we roll along with Mike Waters from Syracuse.com. Second week of the intro, Mike. Are you warming up to it at all? Or
I'm getting used to it. It's taking a little while, and I mean, it is kind of sad in a way. We wish we had more songs that featured Waters more, but.
Well, that's another project for you, all your spare time.
I'll start writing songs.
Yes.
That'll be our next pick six category.
You write
game.
The songs that make the whole world sing?
Songs with Waters in it.
That's right. We just gave you four there. We do have pick six coming up for a pair of tickets to the Georgia Tech game. We'll do that later in the show. First, we want to talk ball with Mike Waters, brought to you, as always, by Oswego County Mutual Insurance. And powered by Drivers Village. Good to have you here, Michael. And what were your biggest takeaways from an 8-point Syracuse win last night?
That after winning a few games with the ball going in the basket rather easily, Syracuse was able to turn around and grind out a win that loves against a team that loves to grind you. You know, they shot only 40% from the field. They shot less than 25% from 3-point range, and they pretty much, I thought, had control the whole night. So, you know, they got back to, you know, they won on defense. They got just enough, you know, decent, good shots so that they could get a few to go in. But sometimes you have to grind them out in this league.
I don't think there's any question. And I think there's going to be another opponent coming in here that likes to play that same sort of way. Georgia Tech, that game figures to be another low scoring game where virtually every possession will matter. But you pointed out something that I wanted to establish. This wasn't as close a game as I think some want you to believe. They got the lead early, built it up to as many as 15. Now, you could say it's somewhat concerning that it went from 15 to 6 instead of from 15 to 20. And, you know, that's an argument we could listen to. But I didn't think this game was ever in doubt in the second half.
The only time I thought it was in doubt was when Clemson had cut it to 6 points and had the ball, and Marquise Reed, who had hit us several shots in a row, got an open lane to the basket. And it was probably the easiest shot he had all night, and he loved the layup.
Should have made it a four-point game right there.
If he cuts it to four, you know, who knows where that game goes at that point. But once he missed that shot, I think Syracuse came back down to the other end And I think they got a basket or not. And then, again, you went back to the other end of the floor, and David Scar, a wide-open three, and he misses it badly. And with those two plays, Clemson was done. So that was the only time. But I agree with you. I thought Syracuse, especially because of the way they were playing defensively, they looked almost in control the whole way.
Scar was one of those players that underperformed last night. 3 points on 1 of 8 shooting, 0 for 4 from 3-point range. He's a good-looking defensive player and is kind of a glue guy, makes some plays for him, but last night did not seem to give them much. And Clemson looks to be, I would say, a bit limited, Mike, on the offensive end. There's really only three players, maybe four if you count Amir Sims, but I would say three that really scare you.
And one of those three, if you're including Shelton Milton, mm-hmm. Shelton Mitchell in that group, he had a really bad night. 2 of 11 from the field. He was 1 for 5 from 3-point range. His shot looked bad. Whereas Marquise Reed was able to make a few shots, and even the ones that didn't go in, a couple of them looked good. So Marquise Reed had a pretty decent night, but not overwhelming. Shot around 40% from the field. You know, if that's the best your best player can do, you're not going to beat Syracuse. I thought Syracuse had a really good game plan going in defensively. And eventually, I know we're going to talk offense. I thought it was really interesting what Syracuse did on offense last night. And I know that you only shot 41-42% from the field. But still, what Marek Dolezal was able to do for Syracuse last night, especially stepping away from the basket and making Clemson center Elijah Thomas have to move away from the basket and play a little defense. I thought that was a great game plan, and the way Marek played, man, that really helped Syracuse last night.
4 assists, no turnovers for Dolezal. I forget about the fact he made 2 more 3-pointers, which was half as what he did on the season. People love watching him play. He is a basketball player. You know, if there was such a thing as a 200-pound and under league, he might be the first-round pick. I mean, this guy makes things happen because he knows where to be and he understands the angles and spacing.
Yeah, how many pounds do you and I have to shed in order to get in that league?
You still wouldn't want me on your team.
When you talk about Marek, when Marek plays really well, he scored last night, and that's great. And I think you'll see more of that as the season goes on. But you mentioned the assist and the absolutely zero turnovers. But he blocks 2 shots. He gets 2 steals. To watch him give away 65 pounds to Elijah Thomas but still do a more than credible job defensively was amazing. He was using his length and his quickness to try to get over and around Thomas as that ball swung around the perimeter, really working hard to deny that entry pass. And if he could just get over the top, he would use that the length of his arm and length of his body to kind of discourage the guards from throwing the ball into the low post. Now, when Thomas got the ball in the low post, more often than not, he could score it or he'd get fouled and go to the free throw line. And he did end up attempting 10 free throws. But I think Syracuse was okay with that.
Right, they made him work.
You don't want Marek in foul trouble, but between Marek and Baramacidity, and even though he didn't get in the game yesterday, I mean, Pascal Chukwu, you've got 15 fouls to give at the center position. To send Elijah Thomas to the free throw line rather than give up a layup, yeah, you'll take that every day.
You were up at practice the day before the game, and I was at that one and a little bit the day before. They basically said to the players, hey, if Thomas catches the ball here, we're just putting 2 points on the board. Forget about it. So, I mean, that was really the thought process, was to make Thomas work, because the thought was if he caught the ball in the restricted area, anywhere really deep in the paint, that you were in trouble. So the idea was to maybe find a way for that not to happen and to make him work hard to get him away from the basket on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, deny the ball in the first place so it doesn't go in there. If it does go in, maybe you've pushed Thomas out and like to for him to like open up a passing lane. Has he stepped 12 to 14 feet away from the basket? Well, now in that case, just stay between him and the basket, put your arms up, and make him shoot a contested shot from there. His percentage goes down. I mean, this is a kid. I mean, he was 4 of 6 from the field, but that's only 6 field goal attempts. And when you take a kid and you did put him at the line some, But from the field, he leads the ACC in field goal percentage at 67%. And then last night, though, he goes to the free throw line. He only makes 5 out of 10. So, again, I thought they did a really good job on him. And it helps that Clemson isn't a really good perimeter shooting team so that you can help down on Elijah Thomas. And aside from a Clyde Trapp or a Marquise Reed, nobody else is really going to hurt you from three-point range.
No, and wound up being just 7 points off the bench for Clemson last night. All of those for Clyde Trapp, who does show some promise, but they didn't have a ton else from their backup big men, et cetera. And I think Clemson's going to be in a little bit of trouble. First of all, they're staring at 0-3 in the conference, and a lot of teams are going to go 0-3 if it's at Duke, at Syracuse, home to Virginia, and which is just brutal. They turn the ball over a lot. And,
way too much for a team with two seniors at guard.
Yeah, one of the things we'll ask Coach Bayham about tonight is how concerned he is about his own turnovers. It seems like they're able to take advantage of the opponents. They force turnovers a great deal. They can turn up the heat even without pressing in a lot of cases. But it seems like when they're forcing turnovers, they commit them as well. There were too many turnovers by the Orange last night, too many in the St. Bonaventure game where Bonnie turned it over a million times. And really, right now, O'Shea Brissett and Elijah Hughes appear to be the guiltiest of parties there. They collectively had 9 turnovers last night without an assist, which means their passes really aren't finding the mark on a regular basis. So that's that to set aside for a moment. And, you know, you mentioned Barama Sidibe. I think what we're seeing from him, Mike, and correct me if you disagree, is that you're seeing what's in there. He hasn't really had the lift athletically to get a lot of things done, but you could tell he had an early post move, back to the basket move last night. He does have a lot more polish, certainly, than Chukwu, or that maybe we're giving Barama credit for. So it's in there with him. It's just not as easy to get it out.
Exactly. They talk about the last night. Jim Boeheim, a couple of the assistant coaches, talking about Barama being more comfortable. It seems like he's recovering now from that postseason knee surgery to relieve the tendonitis in his left knee. And while the surgery went well and he's been out there on the floor and practicing, I think it's just taken a time for him just to kind of get used and get over the apprehensiveness of, I'm okay. And maybe if I do feel a little residual pain right now, it's nothing to be that concerned about. And it's unlike the tendonitis pain, it's not restricting him. I think it was a game or two ago where Jerry McNamara said it just looked like Barama was practicing harder. And it wasn't that he was really practicing harder. He was just able to go more. He was letting himself go. The plays early on last night that to me signaled that Barama's closer to the kid that we saw at the beginning of his freshman years, those chase down blocks. I mean, his 6'10", 220-pound guy chasing down Marquise Reed for a block that's the type of chase down block that LeBron James is famous for, right. And he did it without fouling. That was a great play.
Huge momentum swing.
Yeah, and early on, and you took away transition points, and you know, for a Clemson team that struggles to score, you know, transition points are key for them. And when you prevented them from getting that, and you know, that was all Barama chasing the guy down. And then I think he did it again later on in the game, where again he was running the floor, and his numbers were okay last night. But I thought what was really encouraging about Barama went well beyond the numbers, and it was just how he moved. You know, you mentioned that low post move. The guys in the locker room were laughing about it after the game because I don't know how many times he spun back and forth. And you're like, right. He's just lost. He's trying to get around Elijah Thomas, and this just isn't going to work. And then finally, on like the third or fourth spin, he got around him with the left hand and was able to lay in a left-handed layup and scored. And it's like, man, that was a nice little flip. And no, at this point right now, Pascal Chukwu doesn't give you that. So if Barama's able to play a little bit more, Syracuse's center position starts to look a little better.
All right, good stuff there, Michael. We appreciate that. And how about a quick thought, I guess, on Georgia Tech, who, you know, has the significant losses. Josh Okogie was a guy that took off a year earlier than they expected. He's having a good rookie campaign with the Timberwolves. But just as you're ready to give up on Georgia Tech, they had no trouble with Wake Forest, who looks to be, although talented, the team that's going to struggle the most in the league this year. Georgia Tech opened with a lopsided win against them. And held Virginia Tech to some 30 points below its regular scoring average last night.
Yeah, and you look at it, and Georgia Tech struggles to score. Their field goal effectiveness is really bad, and their three-point percentage is like in around 287th in the country. But they get after you defensively. Their defensive efficiency is top 10 in the country. And you mentioned that they handled Wake Forest easily. They gave Virginia Tech all it wanted last night before losing by three. And another game that stands out is one as a cautionary tale. They went to Arkansas back in December, and Arkansas is a pretty good team, and they won in Fayetteville. And you were there a few years ago, as was I, with the team that had James Sutherland and those guys on it. That is a tough place to play. And if Georgia Tech can go and win there, they're not a team you want to mess with. I know what their record is. You know, I know it's not great. I know they're sitting at like 9-6, but still, because of the way they play defense, I think they're dangerous on almost any night.
Of course, Sutherland had 1,000 points in that game. That went a long way to winning it for Syracuse, which was that was at the time a big win. Arkansas, and people wouldn't know this, but you have to be in the arena. Arkansas is one of the places that does really an incredible job of whooping the fans up and creating, you know, an atmosphere that really is intimidating, I think, to the visiting team. Certainly Duke and some other places get a lot of credit for that. But Arkansas, in my memory, traveling with Syracuse, is a place that does a really great job of that. So good stuff there, Michael. We will see you at the game on Saturday night, okay?
All right, Matt. We'll see you there. Have a good one.
That is the great Mike Waters, Syracuse.com, Orange basketball beat writer. Orange and Georgia Tech Saturday at 6.
Georgia Tech also hung with St. John's in Miami and hung with Northwestern in the ACC Big Ten Challenge.
Right, yeah. So they're right there. I think they're just a little bit off a game that Syracuse, you know, can't afford to lose. You know, pretty much that's going to apply to all the home games this year, except those against the very top competition like Duke.
Yeah, they've got one really bad loss on their schedule. They played a lot of good teams, but they lost to Gardner Webb.
Yes, they did.
That's not good.
No, you don't want to lose to the Gardner, nor to Ty Webb.
The Butler's are more
lose to Butler before losing to the Gardner. All right, back with Do We Care, as well as Pick 6. We'll give away a couple of pairs of tickets to the upcoming game against Georgia Tech. Get ready to call us at 315-437-7644. We'll do that next. Pick 6 ahead. In the Booth on ESPN Radio.
This is In the Booth, presented by CH Insurance, in your corner.
Okay, good to have you back with us in the booth as we continue to talk Orange basketball and elsewhere.
Fitting
with you.
Bump music for our guest.
It is. Rick DiIulio is in. Good to have Rick along. We bring Rick on as our guest celebrity referee for Pick 6. We got to get the phones rolling here a little bit. We have a pair of tickets to give away. So call us at 315-4-ESPN-44. That's 315-437-7644. Here's the deal. We will bring on a caller, let them pick one of our six categories du jour, and then we'll put 30 seconds on the clock. You need to name six in the category that we give you. If you can do that, you are a winner. We have two pairs of tickets to the Georgia Tech game to give away. But I think, guys, we are collectively still basking in the glow of our listeners crushing it the last time we did this.
Yeah, did I tell you I met that guy, the guy that got the Springsteen question right?
You did, just I don't think you told us on the air.
He was legit.
So then with the real historians of Pick 6,
how did you
had
meet
been
him?
Blown away.
He came in to pick everything up. I was walking by.
Yeah. So the guy who nailed it when we said six Springsteen songs, just rattled them off, was the same guy, by his own admission, on the air that couldn't name six Beatles songs. So good for him for being forthcoming. Who's the first victim there, Polly?
That's a great question, Matt. That would be Sal in Syracuse.
All right, Sal. Welcome to the show, Sal.
Hey, guys. Thank you.
How
appreciate
are you?
It.
Yeah, looking forward to your attempt here. Are you feeling lucky today, Sal?
Yeah. Why not? I mean, I love going to the games. You know, you guys are going to save me some cash if I go. I plan on going anyway Saturday. So.
Okay. Well, now maybe you could be, all right?
All right, sounds good.
All right, give me a number, Sal, between 1 and 6.
Let's see, 5.
Five. All right. This is a new category that we just threw in here for today. Think you can do this, Sal?
Okay.
Okay. We need six Division One basketball playing schools that go by the Tigers.
Can you name six? Clemson.
One.
I think LSU.
Two.
Oh, shoot. I don't know if same I can do conference. Any more than that.
Same conference.
Two in there. There's two in that conference.
Auburn. Three. Auburn Tigers.
Yep. Smaller schools.
Let's see.
Time, Polly.
LSU. Nine. Clemson. Four. Auburn.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you said LSU already. Yep.
Yeah, no, I repeated them to myself.
And there we go.
Yeah.
Better luck next time.
Paulie does not do a really good job at keeping the listener.
To do.
No, you don't. We'll count. You play the clock and then keep people abreast. Give them a 10-second warning.
You know what? I've got a phone. I could do it.
There isn't.
Let's well, it's it. Not a. He has the ability that's of doing true. It. He just there, doesn't do it. Yeah. That's
know
the point.
Your job, Paulie.
Well, it's not a matter of.
This
do is. We
on,
have
don't
some,
put this on me.
It is on you. All right, next up.
I've got to be able to know who's on the phone at the same time.
Good try. Well, geez, that's Bill. Really asking a lot of you. All right, Bill, you're up on pick six. We'll put it on Rick.
Yes, sir.
Paulie is
no,
incapable
I've got
of
the
really
sound effect.
Okay, well, there we go. And you're the one that's hitting the button. That's why I thought maybe you could handle that task to begin with. All right, Bill, give me a category. One to six, not five.
Two.
Two is a landmark category here on pick six. Say it with me. Places Dino Babers coached before Syracuse. Can you do it? All right, Bill. 30 seconds on the clock. Let her rip.
Central Michigan or?
No.
Geez. Where's the Michigan? Not Ball State.
20 seconds.
You're getting the conference right.
Eastern Michigan? Western Michigan? Western Kentucky?
A little south. In different direction.
10 seconds. How do people not know this?
This is unbelievable.
Luau.
Michigan. It's definitely east. Definitely Michigan.
Well, you hit everything, every combination not of Michigan close. And a direction, and you were right in the neighborhood. You needed the Illinois, and then Eastern Illinois is one that we could start with. All right, Bill. Good effort.
No, it wasn't.
Next up.
That was a terrible effort, actually.
Phone lines open, 437-7644-315-4ESPN-44. What do you got?
This is a first.
A female caller?
Yes, we have Mona.
How did I know? I knew that was good. When you say a first, I think she might be the first female caller in the
ever.
History of the show,
yes.
In the game or not the game.
I got the timer.
Welcome to the program, Mona.
Oh, I got to turn her up.
Hit the button there, Paul.
Mona.
Hello, there? Mona. We still don't have a female caller. Mona, hello.
Nah. It's just
even,
like real
I would
life.
Even
no
spot
women
her a point. Yeah, exactly.
No women
right.
will talk to me.
All right, good effort. Paulie pushing the wrong button. That's a common theme.
I'll give him Mona one more shot.
For ESPN. Mona, are you there?
No.
Okay, good yeah. effort, Paulie. You're really
right.
on a roll.
That wasn't my fault.
For nice ESPN 44,
Rob
if you'd like
North
to join
Syracuse.
Us. Rob?
Yep.
Hello, Rob. Welcome to Pick Six.
Hi.
How are you? We got Rick DiIulio here, so I'm feeling his category coming up. How about a number 1 to 6, but not 2 or 5?
How about 4?
Category number 4 is the top 50. Okay, so you got a lot of room to choose in here. Top 50 best-selling items or albums of all time. Okay, we got Rick here, the music guy. Top 50 best-selling albums of all time. Can you name 6, Bob?
Definitely not.
Definitely not. He's not
going to
try.
Can you name one?
Okay, let's go.
Can I name one?
Yeah.
One is one, so there's one. Okay. That's the Beatles album. Okay. Ding.
That's the belly of the 21st century, that one.
Well, there you go. There's one.
How about Michael Jackson?
Thriller?
Yeah.
Two.
Okay. How about an Eagles album?
Okay.
10 seconds.
I'm not old enough for that.
What would you say the Eagles would do if they put all their best songs together on an album?
Great effort.
Hey, there we go. Got the 3. I think that makes him the leader in the clubhouse, actually, so far. But we're still looking for 6.
I see it. Last time we did this was an aberration.
Yeah. Oh, they crushed it. Yeah, this is the more common. Yeah. We can't even get all the callers on the air, but we're going to do it.
Let's do
aim small.
Matt in Syracuse.
Hello, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing this
good.
Afternoon?
Pick a category that we haven't done here. What do we got? Like 1, 5, and 6, maybe?
All right, I'll try 1.
Category 1 is, we rolled this one out the other day, so I like to give listeners a little bit of a, you know, if you listen to the show, you might have a little bit of an advantage. All right, this came from our conversation last week in South Bend, site of the Notre Dame-Michigan outdoor hockey game.
Not Duluth.
It was not there. No, but name six of the top 15 in the college hockey poll. Matt in Syracuse, go.
Boston College?
No.
Boston University?
No, not this year. What's the one? There's one more there.
UMass.
Yes, that's not what I was going for, but there's one more in the city.
Notre Dame?
Yes, two.
Harvard?
Not this year.
All right.
10 seconds.
Ohio State?
Yes.
Trying to think. North Dakota?
Not at the moment. Good effort, though. Got to three. You had one more there in the city in Boston. You were right in the neighborhood. Harvard and Notre Dame are actually playing each other with our friend Bill Spaulding on NBC Sportsnet.
Pick one
this weekend.
Can we do that?
Can we get to pick four? We need like a special at random, just a special thing that hits like Double Jeopardy. That hey, if you just get like half,
you need a lifeline,
like the 10 point shot.
Yeah, you could
shot,
do that.
You know,
we'll figure that out. Hey, right now, Rick, we're just trying to get the calls on the air. We're trying to get the clock going. Lifeline is maybe a little beyond our depth at the moment. What do you got,
Mike and Clinton?
Hello, Mike and Clinton. How are you?
Good, fellas. How are you?
Good. You're going to do this one, Mike. The one category we haven't been through yet is maybe the easiest one, so you're going to crush it. You ready?
I'm ready.
Start thinking about who you could take to the game tomorrow night. Okay, we're going to put 30 seconds on the clock for you, Mike.
Go.
And the category is states that border the Atlantic Ocean. Go.
All right. Massachusetts.
One.
New York.
Yeah,
New
two.
Jersey.
Three.
Connecticut.
Four.
New Hampshire.
Close enough. Five.
And Maine.
Bingo. So how easy was that?
Look at that.
He didn't have to go down the coast.
You get it close enough.
That was our easiest
one. I wish I had Bob's like question. That
18
was easier.
Seconds.
Which one did Bob have?
The top albums.
Oh, top albums. You got friends? If you could call your shot and go double here, we'll give you both. Now, we have callers on the line, so let's keep it fair.
All right.
Maybe you can try to get back in there, though, if you'd like, Mike. Good work by Mike. Mike's going to the game for free. Who's next, Polly?
That would be Nick in Syracuse.
All right, Nick, you can choose 1 to 6, any of the categories that have not already been solved. There's just the one that was solved.
What are the numbers? I'm sorry.
You're going top 50 albums of all time. All right, Nick. Here we go. Ready? All right, we're going to put 30 seconds on the clock. Nick, let her rip. 30 seconds.
Top five albums of all
top
time.
Top 50 best-selling albums.
Six of the top 50. I'll start the clock.
Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Yes.
Okay.
Beatles' White Album.
That might be outside the list.
I don't know if that's in the 50.
It's not on there. I got it.
There is a Beatles one in there, though.
Several Beatles ones, I think.
Oh, man.
Beatles might have had a road. They might have been on a road somewhere.
Beatles Abbey Road.
There you go.
Beatles, yeah, okay. Beatles go into the military.
Sergeant Pepper.
There you go.
Led Zeppelin's got a number next to their name.
Sorry.
Good effort. Pretty close. Four is not six, though.
We're going to have to double up our next break so we can end the show in like 3 minutes. This is the last one.
Who else do you have?
Justin in Phoenix.
All right, Justin. Our hopes are on Justin. I think we're feeling pretty good, Justin. Okay, let's see if we can. We're going to get you.
Is he there?
What category would you like, Justin? You can even call your shot.
Number six.
All right, six is, let's go to the nicknamed Tigers. Division I basketball schools that go by the Tigers. We need six.
Six.
Okay, ready?
Okay, go. Okay, we got Auburn.
One.
LSU.
Two. Three.
I think his phone died.
Mm-hmm.
You there, Justin?
Yes, I'm here.
Got you with 3. 15 seconds.
I'm thinking.
Where do they think a lot, like in the Ivy League? 5 seconds.
I can't think of them.
Princeton! Damn it!
Tell you what, we're going to take Paulie. 2 tickets. We're going to staple them to the door facing the street here, and you can just come and pick them off.
I'll tell you what, man, if I really wanted to get on Paulie's nerves today, I would give you a trivia bit on every one of the 50 top albums. Because his head would explode.
You would show off, though. Yeah. But that's your wheelhouse.
His head would explode, though.
Well, that doesn't take much.
We got to go to 5250.
Okay. 5150. Is that on the...
No, that is not.
Police code for escaped mental patient.
You've already dropped that on this segment, let alone...
Okay.
I think you did. Has it run its course? I don't think so. We get a lot of callers.
Yeah, just people are not bright.
I wouldn't know. I think really the scientific experiment is when that clock is running and the ticking, people lose their minds.
I'm going to bump us out with Thriller.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Michael Jackson just raking in the dough with this thing, so, right?
Yeah.
Just
He's been dead for 3 years. He's still.
Yeah. All right, guys. Good stuff. I don't really have any more to add. Jim Boeheim Show tonight at Carrabba's. Thank you, Rick. We'll do it again, all right?
Okay, guys.
Fun stuff on Pick 6. Congrats to our winner, singular. Maybe he can take all four tickets. Enjoy the game, everybody.